Good evening, everyone. This is Terry in Colorado. KI0RE is my call sign. This is CNLA HampNet. This is conducted every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're here to talk about things that concern ham radio, amateur radio, if you will, and the NLA. So anyone is welcome to talk. It's a semi-controlled net, except when Jan makes lots of noises.
Well, that wasn't me. Somebody else just checked in.
Somebody else is in. Well, we'd like to have your input. Somebody else. Who's on it? What would you like to say?
Yeah, there were several people just checked in.
Well, good. Well, we're glad everyone is here. Everyone's welcome to contribute. As a matter of fact, I'd like to have questions, but I've been going through a spell where I don't have as many. So please, if you have a comment, suggestion, question, mic is open. You're welcome to stop me, and I would be happy to hear what you have to say. So we were going to talk. Does anybody have any comments or questions right off the top? I'd like to get those answered so you don't have a confusing look on your face all the time. Okay.
Quizzical.
I'm sorry?
A quizzical look, right?
Yeah, a quizzical look. There you go. I want to say that there are a lot of people who don't understand ham radio. I was one of those people, and I started studying, and that's where it really comes around. If you study just a little bit, then you're a ham, and as long as you keep renewing your license, you got the ability to talk on a whole range of frequencies for the rest of your life. So it's a small thing to go through. The ham test is only 35 questions. You got to get 26 of them right, and they're all multiple choice, and they're all in the back of the book that I've been talking out of from ARRL, License Manual Technician, which is level one. With that, we're attacking Chapter 5 tonight, and one of the first things to talk about is ham equipment, where we have different radios. Now,
ham equipment.
I'm sorry? Can you say that again? Must not have been directed at me.
No, I think their mic was just open.
Okay, if you got something to say, please say it. I'd be happy to wait. I got no problem. Most people's first interaction with radio comes with tuning on their radio on in the car. A lot of them haven't even seen that, because they've got this little device that didn't exist when I was growing up, that they either have a smartphone or an iPad or something like that, or even a, what do you call those devices? The other kind, the iPod. And they play music and they do everything that the radio would do. Well, radio can be one of two things. It can be a transmitter, or it can be a receiver. In broadcast radio, there's one transmitter, and it talks to everybody in a particular area. Now, if it's real strong, like it's here in Denver, there's KOA. There are 50,000 watts, and they're a clear channel. They call them clear channel because they, hang on, I got to shift. Turn at the same time, and the light turned red. Never mind. What they can do is that they broadcast, so they have a transmitter that's putting out a lot of watts, and you can hear it in 38 states at night. And during the day, it's not quite as far, but it still goes out full 50 or 100 miles out in all directions. That's a transmitter. Sends a signal out. The radio in your car has a little receiver in it. That's a receiver. And the difference is one sends the energy out in the antenna and the other receives the energy. Now, if you have something called a cell phone, a flip phone, or a smartphone, which is what we've turned into, we've got a lot of those running around, you're holding both a transmitter and a receiver. And in actuality, they talk on duplex. So the frequency that your cell phone is transmitting on is the one that your cell tower is listening on. And the frequency that the cell tower is transmitting on is the one that your cell phone is listening on. So there's both a transmitter and a receiver at both your cell phone and at the cell tower. And when it changes to a different cell tower, it might be using the same frequency, it might be using something totally different. But you still have a transmitter and receiver at the cell tower and one in your cell phone in your hand. Now, when you talk on a cell phone, you are sending out you're emitting a tiny amount of radio frequency energy, RF energy. And that is strong enough to reach the tower, but hopefully weak enough to where it doesn't do any damage. Now, that's a lot of people say it doesn't, and there's a few people that say it does interfere with the brain. For your information, I'm holding my cell phone right now, and I'm not holding it up by my ear and talking over it because I've got it on speakerphone. I'm holding it down by my mouth so that you can hear me well, and I kind of overshadow all the noise from this car. Ooh, I got a lot of stuff to get out of here. And I think I just drove back home without my purse. Wonderful. Okay, so I'm going to have to go back. I'm doing real good today. So in ham radio, most people talk about having a radio that's both a transmitter and a receiver, similar to your cell phone. But it doesn't normally use the same frequency as your cell phone. And, you know, if you're going to have a conversation with anybody, you have to be able to talk to them, and you have to be able to listen to them. Well, that's done through that cell phone using the transmitter and the receiver. It's done the same way with a radio that comes from a ham radio. Most ham radios have both a transmitter and a receiver because why do you want to listen to somebody if you're not going to talk to them too? So what you have often is most ham radios are designed with a transmitter in mind. And in the beginning, all of those pieces, transmitter, receiver, the microphone, the antenna, the power supply, those were all pieces separate. And you'll look at some of these pictures of old rigs, and you'll see all the separate pieces sitting there. And it's kind of interesting. And if you have that book, you can turn it to whatever page it is. You want to fill in for me for about 30 seconds while I get upstairs. Jan?
Yes?
That is not for you.
Hi.
I was just in the midst of typing up a welcome committee webpage for the website. Sorry.
You're a busy person, Jan. A lot of people rely upon you. And I'm sorry that I had to be another one that put the impetus on you instead of taking it over myself. So my apologies to everyone listening.
Not a problem. We're patient here.
Okay.
Dick Clifton, Peoria, Illinois.
Yes, Dick. Sir. Who was that? What's your name?
He's from Peoria, Illinois.
Right.
Okay. Do you have any questions today?
I have a suggestion, but not a question.
I would love to hear your suggestion, sir.
Well, in the common law grand jury, when we go after these people, we ought to go after them in both their official and private capacities. That way you get them at them both ways.
That's interesting. But I think common law is both ways.
It should be, but when you go in, and if you don't mention you went both ways, you see, in some of these, when these people are in quote-unquote a commercial organization, they can go for $100 million. And as a private, they go for $1 million. So you put those two together, and you've got a pretty nice amount of money you're talking about.
Interesting. I hadn't thought of it like that.
Well, I wanted to be a lawyer, and my grandfather was a lawyer. And when I was little, I did a lot of listening. And it's interesting to find a lot of this stuff. Now, as my grandfather got up in age, I ended up doing a lot of his work pro bono, and I still found a lot of things interesting that I came across.
Well, that's cool, Peoria, Illinois. What was your name again?
Dick Clift. Lift with a C in front of it.
Okay. Dick, I appreciate your input. Can I proceed on?
You sure may.
No, okay.
Please do.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk about ham radio for another minute, if that's all right.
Fine with me.
Okay. Well, I notice that you have a bunch of switches. When you look at ham radio, there's always a bunch of switches on the receiver. And all these switches are to do different things. For one thing, you have to figure out what band you're on and what frequency inside that band is. Now, what's a band? A band is a collection of frequencies, and amateur radio has been given an allocation of these different bands going across the different radio frequency spectrum. And so you got to have a way of selecting a particular frequency. You have to have a way of turning that tuner. You have to have something to connect the mic to so that you can change your audio voice. That's one of the things that would be a separate item had it been back when radio first started. You got to somehow change the mechanical energy of your voice into electrical energy so that the radio can send that out. A speaker does the same thing in the reverse direction. It takes electrical energy from whatever it receives and turns it into mechanical energy of the pressure waves that go out to what we hear on the speaker. You've also got to be able to select a mode. And lots of times there's lots of little bells and whistles in that mode. There's some bands you can use just about any mode on any band.
there are some that are allocated, and there's a what's called a band plan that says we are going to use this part of the amateur radio band for CW only. CW means it's a continuous wave. If the wave is there, if your signal is there, everybody's listening, here's a tone. And if it's not, it's off. They don't hear a thing. And that simple way to modulate, that's how you get across things using Morse code. That's called continuous wave, because when you key down, it's continuous wave with a continuous tone on it. When you let up, there's nothing. And so it's very efficient. You can go a long way with Morse code. Now, they've taken away the requirement that you get real good at Morse code as a tech. Used to, you had to do 5 words per minute. You don't have to anymore. All you got to do is pass that 35-question test I was talking about earlier. So once you get the right frequency you're on, you got your mic plugged in, your speaker is plugged in, or you're using the speaker inside the chassis of the radio, then you have to make some more selections. You have to select, you have to first have an antenna plugged into it so you can listen and transmit, but you have to select what mode you're using on that particular frequency. And there's a whole bunch of modes. The ones that come to mind first are AM and FM. That's amplitude modulation and frequency modulation. And those are the primary forms of modulation that you might hear on your AM-FM radio, which is just a receiver in your car. Amplitude modulation means that it lays a like a picture of your voice on top of a carrier. And so when it gets to the receiver, if it's in AM mode, it decodes that, those changes in amplitude, and comes out with a fair representation of what you've been listening to or whatever was transmitted. FM means it's frequency modulation. So somebody is changing the patterns in your voice to changes in frequency. And then anybody that's listening can turn on, push the FM button, and they can listen to how your voice changes, and they can understand what you're saying. We already talked about continuous wave, and that's just where it puts out a tone. And anybody who's listening can adjust it to whatever tone they like. You can put out a tone. It's usually around A, which is 440 cycles per second. That's a very effective tool. Then it gets kind of sporty. One of the guys said, I want voice. I don't want just a tone out there. I want to be able to hear my voice. But AM modulation is using way more than it needs. So they decided that anytime there's, or they observe that anytime somebody is talking on AM, you're sending out the carrier, which the receiver tends to try to lock into, and you're sending out the modulation. Anything you send out, it sends out on the top part of the wave and on the bottom part of the wave. And so they said, well, we don't need all those other things. Let's just send out either the upper part or the lower part. And so what you got is a sideband. There's a sideband to it. And this sideband, you can select the upper sideband or the lower sideband. And in a single sideband mode, it takes out both the carrier and the other sideband. So all you get is the one sideband you have selected. And some people transmit on the lower sideband, and some people transmit on the upper sideband. It's very much more efficient than a straight AM transmitter, which is amplitude modulation. But it's using the same type of affair. But you got to have a radio that does that. From there, you move into different things, like PSK. PSK is frequency phase shift key.
Frequency shift key.
Yeah, SFS. So what they do is they change the phase of two signals, two carriers. And by shifting the phase on the carriers at different times, they create different digitally coded information. And then at the receiver, it has to look at those two phases of those two signals and kind of recreate whatever you sent. And it's usually a digital thing. And it recreates it in like a text message or something like that. There are a world of other ways to modulate a signal. And if your radio can do it, it usually can do it on transmit, and it can do it on receive. I want to... No, I don't want to go there. Okay. What did I miss? There's data, RTTY is how they put it. Phase shift keying and frequency shift keying are all parts of all of that. There's a picture on page 5-4, chapter 5, that shows the mic gain setting and effect on your signal. Sometimes your mic isn't real tuned for how you're using it. And having a mic gain tends to give you a little bit better edge. If your mic is too close most of the time, or you tend to use it with it up against your face, sort of like this, you start getting distortion because it doesn't have the travel to handle the physical application of force that's going into your mic, and you get distortion. It's hard to understand. Sometimes if you turn your mic gain down a little bit, you can talk the way you've always been talking, but people can hear you. So realize that you can use your microphone by moving it around, by holding it sideways. It all depends. And you can adjust your mic gain so that it works for the way that you normally talk. And that's the key to having a good signal on a good mic on your transmitter when you transmit. Then it goes into spurious signals. That's any type. Excessive modulation for all types of speech results in a distortion of transmitted speech and unwanted or spurious transmitter outputs on adjacent frequencies where they cause interference. You don't want to do that. The O's unwanted transmitter outputs have lots of names, but the most common is splatter. Generating those outputs is called splattering, as in you're splattering 10 kilohertz away, and it can happen. By overdriving your mic, you're making it hard to understand someone who is listening on your frequency, and you might be making it almost impossible to communicate over on another frequency. And you'd be surprised how many people don't understand what they're doing with the mic or to get their mic gain, because they want to sit down there and turn that mic gain up full so they can reach everyone. Doesn't work that way. You have to know your equipment. And you know, one way to know that is that you talk to somebody else. And you say, this is KI0RE. KC4HVA. Did I got it right, Jan?
Yes, KC3.
Yeah. Yeah. So what? How do you hear me? Does this sound better? We'll call this A. And we'll call this B. Which one sounds better?
A is much better. You're overdriving on B.
There you go. And I might be splattering across the band, or I might be doing all kinds of things. So you learn how to use your mic. You know, I might want to talk like this. If I have a mic gain, I can turn it down to where it sounds more like this. And that's what I run with. That is there to improve your communications. So use it. What else is on that radio? We talked about selecting which kind you're going to use and which kind of modulation you're going to use and what you're going to be listening to. There's two things I'd like to address right now, and those come in the audio stages. There's a volume, and pretty much everybody knows what a volume is. And sometimes on some bands, there's a squelch. And the nice thing about squelch is that there is some ambient noise everywhere all the time. And for you that are physics majors, you might know where that ambient noise comes from. It comes from the Big Bang. And every other radio signal that you've ever touched in your life is still bouncing around out there. Amos and Andy, they say, is about 70 light years away from Earth now and is hitting other possible planetoids. So that's interesting to think about. But you use a squelch because the background noise is roughly, and I do mean roughly, level. In other words, usually the background noise, if it's at 3, it's all the time, and it's just white noise, or it sounds like white noise. It's just pink noise, maybe, and it's at 3 all the time. Now you get little spikes and dips and things. But if you set your squelch up to about 4, the only thing you hear is when somebody transmits. When that radio wakes up in the corner of the room and says, "This KI0RE listening," you know that somebody just transmitted and they raised the level of the transmission up enough to where you could hear them, and they're well above noise level, and they broke your squelch. Squelch is a really good thing. In the Air Force, when I was a gunner, anytime the EWO, the electronic warfare officer, was playing with his stuff and communicating with people, it was a gunner's responsibility to listen to HF. So I'd get to listen to HF for about 30 minutes to an hour on just about every flight as he checked out his equipment. Well, they don't let you use squelch up there flying around in B-52s. You listen to HF because it might be the very weak signal that you want to listen to. And so you're listening to this crackle and pink noise and white noise and the scramble. It's not real loud, but it's very constant. And anyone who's listened to a mistuned radio for more than about 10 minutes, they know how that gets to feel. So even though I could once in a while hear things on it, it got a little tiring to listen to it constantly, listening for a signal. But you know, that's exactly what they had to do back in the teens and the 20s until somebody invented squelch. And I'm grateful to the man who did that. That would be a good homework assignment. Anybody can wants to find out and give us just a 2-minute report on who invented the squelch and how it came about. I would love to hear that. So they would have to listen to the HF crackling and hissing in their ears until they heard a faint signal somewhere and then listen for that signal. And if you watch somebody doing an old radio, you'll see them with their eyes closed because they're concentrating on the sound that's coming in. And they listen for that sound because they know what that one transmitter sounds like, and they want to get his message across. Sometimes it's just the guy down the street, and he doesn't have a very good rig, and he's barely getting to you. Sometimes it's halfway, someone halfway around the world. Sometimes it's a ship at sea, and maybe you're the only one that can hear him, so you listen for somebody else talking to him, or you listen to hear the other side of the conversation that you can't hear. So if it sounds like they are talking to somebody, but they you can't quite hear the other station, that might be just what you got. But if they keep talking, they keep calling for anybody to answer their signal. In the 20s, there were stories of many ships that somebody inland could hear their signal, but somebody there on the coast where the help was couldn't. So they would take the and write down the latitude and longitude. They'd talk to them. They'd write down the latitude and longitude, and they would go to somebody with a telephone and have them call down to that Coast Guard station or whatever it was and send some help out. So that's what the American Radio Relay League, that's why they called it that, is because you could relay some information, critical information, from one place where you heard them talk to another place that has the facilities that they need. Very important. I got off on a tangent again. Are there any questions about what we've talked about so far?
Doesn't look like it.
Okay. Well, there's not a whole lot of time. I'm going to stop right there because there's lots of, the transmitter and the receiver both are specialized equipment. And when you buy a transceiver, you're buying both. The radio has both in it. You need to familiarize yourself with both and get where you can use them expertly. And all that takes is practice to know the radio that you have. Don't be afraid of it. Get on there, get on the air, and talk. And try and pull those weak signals. Make those weak signals sound better than what they sound when you initially hear them. Lots of times you can be 5 kilohertz off of somebody and it sounds terrible. But as they talk and you tune just a little bit up and down, you find the exact frequency that you're on. And when you do, it's wonderful because you found them and they are sounding really good and you can understand what they say and they can understand what you say. And there's more. I can talk a lot more, and I would be very happy to answer questions, but we're running out of time, and I know there's special things, and I want everybody to get set up for the special meeting tonight. And that's about all I can say. Anything else? Anybody else have any questions, comments? Well, it's good to know that.
None for me.
What? Nothing here?
I say none for me.
Okay, well, it's agree. I'm glad that everybody agrees with me that I should get off of this conference call and not let other things happen. This is Terry from Colorado. I am KI0RE, Kilo India, Zero Romeo Echo. You can look me up on the net. This is the NLA Hams Net. It's held every week at this time at 8 p.m. Wednesday, Eastern Time, whatever Eastern Time is on, daylight or otherwise. And we like to talk about things NLA-ish and Hamish. And we're certainly glad everybody that participated tonight. Thank you, Dick in Peoria, Illinois. Thank you, Jan and Pittsburgh in Center Hall. And I appreciate everyone, and I hope you come back and you arm yourself with a few questions. Do a little studying. It doesn't hurt, and you might be in, enjoy and learn a valuable skill if you just dip your toe in it. This is KI0RE, and I think the net is now clear.